Anytime, Kelly. Thanks.
All right. Do you remember when the prime minister was doing his daily COVID updates last spring at the beginning of the pandemic, when he put the call out for industry to pivot to help fight COVID-19? Well, our next guest heeded his call, decided to assign a third of his staff, including a PhD who had previously experienced in modeling with another pandemic, the H1N1 swine flu of 2009, to come up with a better forecasting model for COVID-19. So they built this software, and they can now predict quite accurately how COVID-19 will spread in Canada. Can they get the government to answer their calls? Not really. Not the feds, not the province. The only government is a municipality of York Region that's decided to answer the call that Paul put out. Paul Minchel is our guest. He's the CEO of Skarsen. Welcome to the show. Good to have you on. You guys are located in Markham, so really local here.
Thank you very much for having me on, Kelly. It's a pleasure.
Well, I'm happy you decided to come on with us. This is an infuriating story because one of the things we know about COVID-19 is we have to test, we have to contact trace, and we have to forecast where things are going. If we don't forecast where things are going, we're just reacting to things that are happening, but happening in the past based on numbers that are from the past. Because, you know, whenever you get the numbers on a daily basis, they're numbers from a few weeks ago or whenever those tests occurred. So tell me about your modeling software and why it is so much better than the software we're currently using.
Yeah, I think one of the first things I would say is there may be kind of a misnomer out there that somehow there's this coordinated forecasting effort across the country right now that's informing a lot of the decisions. And unfortunately, that's just not true. It's really a patchwork of different models that have been developed, and they don't really inform a lot of the decision making. So as you've appropriately said, when you look at the data today, it's generally telling you what happened a few weeks ago. We came at it completely differently back in March when we started, and we basically sat down for about 3 weeks and we said, if I was running a public health unit, and I was going to have to battle this pandemic for the next year, what information would I have in the model to do it? And I think that's what makes our approach so different. We designed the entire system around that. So we're not necessarily always focused around, is this number accurate? Mm-hmm. But if I'm in Peel and I'm trying to figure out what to do, and I want to say, well, what if I close the schools early for Christmas? What if I changed the behavior in malls or whatever, you can actually go into our model and put that in and see how it would change the spread. And you can do that weeks ahead of it. So you can be very proactive. Is that helpful?
Yeah. So you can hyper target areas. You can get really localized when it comes to decision making via your software.
Absolutely. Like when you see what, as an example, the province of Ontario reports every day, you know, when they're 1 o'clock, they're always talking about Ontario. We actually do it the opposite way. So we do all 34 health regions bottom up. So we know the explicit behavior that's going on in every one of those. And as we look forward for the next month, we can tell you like Peel and Toronto are contributing 2/3 of all of the cases in the next month. So really the question is, what do you have to do to appropriately deal with them right away? And I think those are the kind of insights we have. And what I can tell you is it's not just how COVID's spreading that's different. It's what makes up the regions that different, right? So if you're in Niagara Falls, where you have a tourism industry, or another area where you're heavy manufacturing, the things you do to succeed actually can be very different. And so again, I hope that's insightful.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was really interesting about your modeling program as well is, just to give an example of how well it works, your modeling program had predicted that we would be at about 1,500 cases by the middle of November, which is where we are. The province is the one that the province is currently using that's making decisions with it had us at 1,000, which shows that yours is more accurate than the province's. Yet you haven't been able to have a meeting with the province. What's the holdup? Why are they kind of stalling and dragging their feet? If you can plug in so many different parameters and so many different scenarios into your modeling program.
I think the first thing I would come back to is when you look at what Ontario just published on Friday, they have this one slide and it says the principles for keeping Ontario safe and open. And they have four pillars. And one of the pillars reads evidence-informed, the best available knowledge. And what I would come back to is, you know, since May, we've been telling them every single area we can talk to that we have a system running Ontario. Why don't you just take a look at it? And so why haven't they reached out? I really, for the life of me, can't answer that.
So is it crickets then?
No sense.
You're not hearing anything.
No, literally. I've sent stuff to the Premier, the Ministry of Health. They actually have a proposal sitting on their desk somewhere from May 25th to essentially use this system for the province. And I can say with certainty that it provides capabilities that they just don't have today. I mean, you don't need to be a forecasting expert to watch what's gone on in the last few weeks to know they're not really using really evidence to make those. You don't roll out a policy on how you're going to do this color coding system and 10 days later change it radically. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just want to ask you about a little bit more about your software, because I understand your software does something that other modeling softwares don't do. And I think we can learn a lot from what's going on social media. People are very obvious about their actions and interactions with what they post. You actually are even utilizing location data released by Apple, Facebook, and Google as well, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think one of the important things about our model is there's actually like an engine underneath it. It's not just producing a forecast. We actually go in and we measure how much are people moving in the community compared to what they did before the pandemic. How about the workplace and at home and at school? And that's what allows us to actually create that improved accuracy. And we load Facebook, Google, Apple data, along with case data from the province every day. And they give us incredible insights. I think you'd be incredibly surprised by how different people's behavior has been in the different health regions. Sometimes you think, you know, Peel, they're in an incredibly challenging situation, yet they're not decreasing the amount they, you know, visit the community. So they're not really responding to the situation. And we use that as an input to then project what we think Peel will look like in a while. And I know I'm kind of picking on Peel simply because they're in very, very bad place.
They're at 19% positivity rating when it comes to COVID-19 in one area of Brampton alone. And that is a scary number when you're talking about, a contagious disease. Now, let me just ask you this, because I don't have a ton of time with you. You invested $1.6 million, Scarson, in this COVID-19 modeling software. If the feds don't bite, if the province doesn't bite, could we lose it entirely, our opportunity to use this? Because I understand you're going to have to start shopping in the States.
We've already started that. I mean, you know, and to be frank, like, we never did this as a money or revenue generating opportunity. We work with global 500 companies, so we would have been better off just to stay doing what we were doing. But we truly believed we can make a difference for Canada. And I've spent 5 months knocking on every door I can, probably for too long. So the answer is now, yes, we're turning internationally. I'm very confident we're going to do well, but it's a big missed opportunity. We could have been
collaborating. You're in Markham. You want to help out your own country and your own, neighbors.
Yeah, well, and I think it's, the last thing I would say is it's not like, this is not political. This is a pandemic. My aunt, who has Huntington's, is in a long-term care facility. She has COVID now. I had a kidney transplant. I have a second disorder. I don't go out of my house because I'm afraid I will die if I get this. So, this is much bigger than the politicians and what's going on. And I still believe there's hope. We've actually got a lot of interest now from experts in Canada based on the last couple of weeks. So I think a lot of the experts have been saying the same things to the governments, mm-hmm. but not necessarily having the numbers to back it up. And now they're coming to us and saying, well, this system could actually provide the numbers that we've been talking about. So I'm still very optimistic.
Well, I hope that things will turn around for you guys. I hope finally, with, you know, talking about it out on this show, Colin Furness was singing your praises. He's an epidemiologist at U of T. He's had a look at your modeling software, thinks it's incredibly impressive and very could be very useful in the fight against COVID. Hopefully people hear us. I know that Doug Ford listens to the show, so hopefully he'll get on it, take a look on his desk. Paul, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and thank you very much for shedding some light on your modeling.
And thank you for having